I'm going to read tonight, firstly from the Bible. No worries if you have no Bible with you. Everything we say this evening is from the Word of God, the Bible. These are not my ideas, these are not my ideas. These are what the Bible says. And I really want to just pick up three verses this evening concerning the gospel message. First is found in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis and chapter 1. The book of Genesis and chapter 1. And maybe just as you're finding that, I'll probably be speaking until about 10 to. That clock is 5 minutes out. And then I'll hand over to Brian, who's going to do another 20 minutes of the gospel too. So you have two for the price of one this evening. So firstly, reading from the Bible, in Genesis in chapter 1, and just reading verse 1. It just tells us there that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now look to the New Testament, into the thousandth chapter of the Bible, found in the book of John, and chapter 3, please, the book of John, and chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we're just going to read verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And finally, please, in the book of Romans and chapter 5, please, the book of Romans and chapter 5. The book of Romans and chapter 5, and we're just again going to read one verse. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, very simply, in a few moments that I have this evening, I want to consider three phrases found in these verses brought before us. I want to consider, firstly, in Genesis in chapter 1, that God created. And then I want to consider in John chapter 3 and verse 16, not only God created, but God so loved. And then I want to consider finally in the book of Romans and chapter 5 and verse 8 that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now I suppose that as we start the meeting and the 4 nights ahead of us, I really want to challenge your heart and my heart this evening. I know some of you in the gathering, most of you, if not all, but some of me I don't know. But I want to challenge your heart this evening. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Well, you know the Bible tells us in the Psalms, and I wouldn't dare say that here at the platform here in Torster, but it's the Word of God tells us. It tells us twice in the book of Psalms that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I hope this evening that you're not a fool. I hope tonight that you do believe in God. Because I want to consider this evening one that created, one that's for love. One that commended his love towards you and me by sending his well-beloved Son. I suppose we need to consider too in this day and age that we live that God created. God created the heaven and the earth. You'll notice tonight we're not going to be talking about evolution as a theory and all that, because that's all false truth. I want to tell you this evening what the Bible tells us, that God created the heaven and the earth. The world that you and I live in was created. It was created in 6 days. And on the seventh day, the Bible tells us that God rested. But I need to tell you too that there was a man called Adam. And we think again as we look through the very early chapters of the Bible, a man was called Adam. And you know, he was told, and his wife was told, that to go into this garden, they were placed in a garden, and they were told by God that they could do and eat of every tree in that wonderful garden. A perfect garden. No weeds, nothing such like as that. But a perfect garden. And they were told by God, they could eat of every single fruit. in that garden apart from the one tree that was in the midst of the garden. A very simple truth. A very simple command. But you'll see in the scriptures it tells us that there was a serpent in the garden, and he beguiled Eve. And Eve took of the fruit. And Adam took of the fruit too. You know what the Bible tells us about that? It tells us in the chapter that we've read this evening, it tells us in verse 12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So my friend, this evening, we consider that God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible tells us that you and I, are a sinner. Again, I wouldn't dare stand here in closer and closer town hall and call you that, but the Bible tells us that. And again, if we look into the book of Romans, and we looked a few verses before, we read this evening, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, the epistles would tell us in the epistles of John. It tells us there, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I hope this evening, as we consider the truth, that each and every one of us, as seen as we're sat here in the hall here, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And just as the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, we read again in Romans in chapter 6, that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the Bible tells us again in that verse, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, my friend, the seniors, we consider that bad news maybe, and we consider that with God there is no respect of persons. Whether you're male or female or old or young, the Bible declares that all of us have fallen short of God's standard. And the Bible tells us again, because of that, we're bound for a lost eternity. We do not like to speak too much about it, but we need to tell you this evening that if you die in your sin, you'll be found in the place the Bible calls hell. But I want to tell you tonight of the good news. We thought already that God created it. Now I want to consider that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, the Bible tells us again in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, it tells us that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, my friend, I want to tell you the wonderful story of the gospel this evening. The one that loved you and gave himself for you. The Bible tells us the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We sometimes think of that verse in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world. You know, as a chorus I used to sing at Sunday school, he knows the worst about you, and yet he loves you just the same. And tonight, my friend, as you gather into the hall here, and it's good to see you, it may be different backgrounds that you and I would come from, but in the sight of God there is no respect of person. And in the sight of God, you and I are sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save you and me from our sin. I wonder this evening, have you considered the fact that the God that created the universe that you and I would live in also loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son? You know, as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, we can look back at how the wonderful things that he did. We think of the many wonders and miracles and signs that he did. We think of the first one recorded in Scripture in the book of John. It tells us that the water was changed into wine. We think of another occasion of that one who was walking with his disciples. And he came to that city of Nain, and there was a lady that came out, and that she was part of a funeral ceremony. And yet when the Lord Jesus Christ was saw there, maybe as he saw there the signs of sin, in that death of that one, the Bible tells us he stretched forth his hand and he just touched that coffin, he just touched that beard. And the one that was dead was raised from the dead. You know, I could spend many a night and many a conversation this evening considering the many wonders that the Lord Jesus Christ did. But needless to say, the Bible tells us that if everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did was written down, the whole world couldn't contain the books that should be written. I wonder, my friend, this evening, are you realizing that there's a God created this heaven and this earth? I wonder, my friend, this evening, if you consider that one who is the perfect one, the one that Lord Jesus Christ, the one the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then we thought, did we not, that third verse in Romans. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We could spend many a night, and I'm sure we could, go through the scriptures and the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and other places. And we could consider, as we look back upon the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the walk of the Lord Jesus, perfect in everything. Nothing like you and I. Not everything we do and everything we think is just sin. But this man, he was different. He was separate from sinners. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is sinless. Without fault. Because he was God's only begotten Son. You know, my Bible tells me that a day came in scriptures, it tells us that there were those that were trying to take him. And the Bible tells us that a day came when they took the Lord Jesus Christ and they took him outside of the great city of Jerusalem of the day. And they came to a terrible place called Calvary. And there at that Calvary, that place called Calvary, they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. A barbaric death. They nailed his hands and his feet. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head. The Bible tells us his back was like a furrowed field. The Bible tells us if you looked upon him, his visage was marred more than any man. Why did he do all that? Well, I think the words of the Apostle Paul would remind us, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, Lord Jesus Christ went to that place called Calvary. And there from that place he suffered your sin and my sin. My sin, your sin was placed upon him, but you know sin. And through those hours of darkness, the sin of the whole guilty world was brought laid upon him. We look back, do we not, at that verse, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid that price in full upon the cross by shedding his blood. Listen to what the Bible tells us. It tells us that in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Another verse will tell us in 1 John 1 and verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. My friend, this here is an opportunity for your sins to be cleansed. There's an opportunity this evening to have your sins dealt with. Not through any merits of your own. Because your merits and good works, they may be good, but they'll never get you to heaven. The Bible classes them as just filthy rags. The only way you can be saved is by trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that died upon that center cross and there shed his precious blood. God commendeth his love toward us. God showed his love. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wonder tonight, my friend, as you come to Torstead and you come to listen to the good news message of the Bible. I told you to see that God created the heaven and the earth. I told you from the scriptures again that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I've also told you this evening from the scriptures that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, my friend, that's not the end, because the Lord Jesus Christ was buried. And my friend, the Bible tells you this evening that when they came on that third day, they found him risen from the dead. The Bible tells us again, Luke would tell us in the book of Acts, but God hath raised him from the dead. Tonight, my friend, we want to tell you about one that lived. We've told you that one that died. One that was buried. But one that was triumphantly raised from the dead. And you know, my friend, this evening, that you and I can have salvation as our sins dealt with. Because of that work that was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Because of that blood that was shed. You and I can be saved. That's what the Bible tells us. We can be saved. We can know with assurance that our sins are dealt with. We can know with assurance that we've got a home in heaven. My friend, there's not a lot of assurance in this world that you and I live in. But tonight you can leave through that door knowing that your sins are dealt with. You know that you have a home in heaven by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a Philippian jailer could ask many years ago, well, what must I do to be saved? I've heard you singing in the prisons at midnight, and I've heard you praising God, Paul and Silas, but how can I be saved? Well, it's not to do good works. They're good, but they'll never get you to heaven. The answer that was given in that innermost prison is exactly the same as him. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is everlasting to everlasting. The book of Revelation tells us that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But the Bible tells us in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son into the world. And we've thought much to see of that one that came. I wonder tonight, my friend, will you come to Christ? There's a verse on the door of the man. It simply says, repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what you need to do, my friend, this evening. To get to heaven, you need to repent of your sin. Turn your back upon your sinful ways and trust in him. The one that paid the price of your sin and my sin upon the cross. We know, my friends, an urgency in the gospel this evening. We planned 4 nights in the will of the Lord to stand here to preach the gospel, but this could be the first night and only night. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ comes this evening, I will be here tomorrow to preach. And maybe the majority here will not be here as well. The Lord Jesus Christ will come. There's an urgency in the gospel this evening, that now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. We've got no guarantee of tomorrow. I hope this evening, as we might just consider these things, repent ye and believe the gospel. God created, God so loved, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Good to see you this evening. Thank you for accepting our invitation to be here. I don't know why you're here, really. It could be you've had a card through your door, maybe you've seen a poster in a shop, maybe somebody personally has invited you. Whatever it is, it's good to see you. I was thinking about what we speak about tonight. I realised that the card that we've been giving just says on it, good news from the Bible. Good news from the Bible. And so I want to read to you from the Bible. Paul's already read, I want to read again to you from the Bible. I want to read to you a psalm. And it's Psalm 23. Some of you may have heard of Psalm 23. Some of you may not have heard of Psalm 23 at all. I'll read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We believe that God blesses his word when we read it. I wonder tonight whether you've ever read the Bible for yourself. Sometimes, you know, those of us who are Christians, we assume everybody's read the Bible. But, you know, it could be tonight that you've never read the Bible before. And maybe you've come tonight because you have an interest in the Bible. You want to know what is in the Bible. You saw an advert that said, good news from the Bible. And you want to know what it is. Maybe you have read the Bible. The Bible is a book for all ages. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are tonight. The Bible is for you. It's the Word of God. And we would commend to you tonight for you to read the Bible for yourself. Some people have a lot to say about the Bible. And when you speak to them, they've never actually read it themselves. I would commend to you to read the Bible tonight. Just to say, you know, we're not trying to get you to join a church tonight. We don't want your money or anything like that. We simply want to introduce you to a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is relevant to you today. You may say, well, it was written a long time ago, and that too was. But the relevance to you today is just as it was and has been to every generation. All over the world, you know, people are buying and reading Bibles every day. It's still the best-selling book in the world. Have you read it for yourself? Do you know the God of the Bible? Do you know the God of the Bible? It's our privilege to introduce him to you tonight. And to tell you about his interest in you. Paul's already spoke to us about the gospel. Gospel simply means good news. The good news of the Bible. It tells us of God's love. We've already heard that. But it also tells us about man's sin. You know, a lot of people, I guess, in the world today, don't take sin very seriously. They don't take it very seriously. They think of sin in degrees, you know, little sins, medium-sized sins, and big sins, that sort of thing. And they, you know, assume that, well, if something's just a little sin, it doesn't matter at all, really. God doesn't look at sin like that at all. The Bible tells us that it is sin that has separated men from God. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. And maybe you've never heard that before, that your sin has separated you from God. It's our delight tonight to be able to introduce you to a God who loves you and wants you to be reconciled to him again. David, when he wrote this psalm, a man called David, I don't know if you've heard of David before. I was young, I went to Sunday school, and perhaps many of you here went to Sunday school as well. And I learnt about David. I guess the most exciting thing I learned about David was that he slew a giant, a man called Goliath. He's one of my favourite Bible stories. But David wrote this psalm. And in this psalm, David is speaking about his own experience. His own experience. You listened as I read it to you. He speaks confidently and with authority about the fact that the Lord God is his shepherd. And he goes through various things as to what God meant to him and how God affected his life. You know, there's nothing quite like the voice of experience, is there? The voice of experience. It brings authority to a subject. Somebody can say, well, I know because I've been there, I've done this, I've, you know. And the only authority I have to stand before you tonight is because I have experienced what I'm talking to you about. Same with Paul and others who will speak over these next few days. And back when I was just a young boy, having listened to messages similar to the one I'm giving you tonight, from being quite young, the time came in my life when I realised that I couldn't rely upon other people from my own position before God. It had to be a decision I made for myself. My mum and dad were Christians. They had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ themselves as individuals. They had been reconciled to God. But that, shall we say, didn't do me any good. It helped because they were able to tell me about the gospel. But you know, the fact that they were Christians didn't make me a Christian at all. The day had to come in my life, and the day did come when I realised that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ personally in my life. I needed God in my life. I was still quite young. I hadn't reached my teenage years. I wasn't very good at praying. I guess I couldn't really perhaps say I'm very good even now. You know, I didn't know how to pray very much. And I just recalled at the time when I wanted to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, a chorus that I used to sing in Sunday school. And it went like this: into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. It was a prayer from my heart. It was heard by God. And I know I have God's word, which says to me that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I became a Christian that day. I had my sins forgiven. I was going to say it was a relief. It was a relief. But you know, you receive within your heart, the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, a peace that only he can give. And so David was speaking about the reality in his life, of what he had experienced himself. Just as I can speak to you about the reality in my life, of what I've experienced, and I commend it to you tonight. Paul told us that God commends his love toward us. I would also commend it to you. I've experienced it for myself. So David speaks about his life. You know, David's life was, well, it wasn't all good. It wasn't all bad. I guess it was a bit like my life and your life. A mix of good and bad. But you know, David speaks in this psalm about things that you will be able to relate to. He speaks about need and about provision for need. He speaks about guidance in life. He speaks about peace. He speaks about help in times of trouble. But he also speaks about hope for the future. So these are very real things, aren't they? Things that we can relate to. You know, his experience can be your experience tonight. Maybe you've come here tonight because you are troubled within your heart. Maybe about the direction that your life is heading. I trust tonight that you can find hope from the things that David himself learned and shared with us in this psalm. The things that David wrote here are part of this good news of the Bible that we're bringing to you. But you might be asking tonight, well, what effect could this have upon my life? I've heard of religious groups and you know, I worry sometimes about the things they do. Well, you know, I've also heard of religious groups and worry about the things they bring. We're not preaching to you religion tonight. We're simply preaching to you from the Word of God. The good news of the Bible. You can leave this building tonight with a personal relationship with the God of heaven. The God whom Paul spoke to you about. The God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. what effect the Lord Jesus Christ can have on your life today. Well, my closing words really bring to the forefront the most important part of what I have to say. Because as I bring my remarks to a close, I want to talk to you about how the Lord Jesus Christ can be your Saviour, how you can have a relationship with God, the God of heaven, the Creator God, the God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. You know, sometimes we celebrate at various times of the year things that we might say are churchy things, you know what I mean? Christmas, Easter, those sort of things. And we celebrate them in ways perhaps which don't always channel our thoughts in the right direction. You know, so often, we're just thinking about Christmas, for instance. You know, we celebrate Christmas, and there's so much that, you know, the world brings to Christmas which has nothing at all to do with, shall we say, why or what Christmas is really all about. But you know, it was at this time when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. God sent his Son into the world. And Paul has already quoted to you a verse from John chapter 3. I'm going to quote it again. It tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a lovely verse. There's so much in that verse we could preach every night, really, could we, Paul, on that verse alone, because there's so much in there. God gave his Son as a gift. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he came with the purpose of, well, his name says it all. They called his name Jesus, we read. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came into the world, to be the Saviour of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ proved his perfection. He was the only one who has ever lived who has never sinned. He couldn't sin. There was nothing in him to respond to sin. He was the perfect, holy Son of God. And his life, a relatively short life, we might say, around about 33 years, proved to those around him his perfection. When they were trying to find fault, find a reason, an excuse to crucify him, they couldn't find one. Pilate, the judge, said, I find no fault in him. And how many people must he have judged and given sentence on and found fault? He could find no fault with my Saviour. He was taken by wicked men. He was betrayed. He was beaten. And he was crucified upon a cross. And his precious blood was shed. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission for sins. And how I praise him tonight for the fact that when he died upon the cross, as Paul had already said, when God, during 3 hours of darkness there upon the cross, laid the sin of the world upon him. Oh, I thank him for that tonight. Because of that, I know my sins are forgiven. You see, I took him at his word. His word which tells us if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he achieved there on Calvary, we shall be saved. And I took him at his word, and I'm saved tonight. I'm going to heaven. How about you? How about you? Do you know your sins forgiven? As I said at the beginning, it doesn't matter how young or how old you are tonight, you can have your sins forgiven tonight. Oh, the peace we sometimes sing in our hymns at where we go. Oh, the peace my Saviour gives, peace I never knew before. It's a peace that David knew. He talks about how his soul was restored, led in the path of righteousness. He speaks about walking in difficult days, but knowing that what he calls the valley of the shadow of death, he was passing through it, and he would come out the other side because there was one who cared for him and comforted him. And he says there in that last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And here it is, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I want to confirm what Paul has already said, that I'm looking forward to the day when I will be in heaven with my Lord and Saviour. Do you have a hope like that? Do you have a hope like that? You can do tonight. It can be yours tonight if you put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they crucified him, the Bible says. And they crucified him. Just four very simple words, but all the depth of meaning in those four words. They crucified him. And they took him down from the cross, and they buried him in a borrowed tomb, and then he rose from the dead. And shortly after that, he ascended back to heaven. That's where he is tonight. He is my Saviour. He became my Saviour the moment I trusted him. He's still my Saviour. And he's in heaven tonight. And he wants to be your Saviour too. And he says to us in his word, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As I just close my remarks tonight, I implore you to think very carefully about this good news from the Bible. Read it for yourself. If you haven't got a Bible, just mention to us, we'll provide you with a Bible. Read it for yourself and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour. I want to pray now. Please remain with us if you can. We'll just have a cup of tea and a biscuit, and you can chat. If you have any questions, please just come and share with us, and we'd be glad to help you. So,